Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
And manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
It's our fantasy baseball draft.
Your fantasy what?
The fantasy baseball. I told you all about this. Got Matsui.
All your fantasy sports updates.
It's a numbers game.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
Hour number two of the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com and on Twitch. Every hour brought to you by Tomacay Audiovisual Audiovisual Consultations. Get it out. There you go. 512-255-8678, avconsultations.com. For 31 years, been setting the standard in audiovisual automation. Make sure you go to the website right now. If you don't have an idea of what you want in your house, the Gallery Projects will give you an idea of what you want. But yeah, golf simulator for the rainy days. AV Consultations can do it. Home theater, downstairs, that's an easy fix. You want something outstairs or outside on your patio by your pool? AV Consultations can do it. Call them up, 255-8678, avconsultations.com. All right, let's get into it. So we were talking a little bit about Devin Booker with the right call, and it prompted me to have this thought that I had on Thursday. A lot of rumors, a lot of speculation has been going around since Portland's exit stage right of the playoffs, like, you know, Dame, you know, what's another team where Dame could go to where they would just be lighting up? And I've seen a lot of love come with Dame and the Dallas Mavericks. But I'm going to tell you to pump the brakes on that. That'd be a great fit. First off, I don't see Dame as a player to leave Portland. I see Dame as a player that would put Portland on his back and say, hey, I'm that type of player, like he was talking about with Book, right? I'm that, like, play with him moment. You know what I mean? Come play with me. Come play with me. You know, he's got that ability. Dame has got that mantra about him. Now, if he were to leave Portland, Chris Paul, it's a little up there in years, right? If they actually get this done, if they get this thing done and they win the championship, the Suns, if they can beat the beasts from the East, the Brooklyn Nets, if they can actually take them down, because that's who I mean, I know the Sixers are doing their thing, but I still see it as a representation of the Nets from the East. That's just what I'm seeing. How can you not? They're loaded. They're absolutely loaded. And if Harden gets back and gets better, yes, they are they're the heavy favorites for me. But if the Suns can take them down, Chris Paul happens to ride out into the sunset, in comes Dame Lillard. Now you have probably the most dominant backcourt, hypothetically speaking, if Dame comes to Phoenix.
Yeah, you're getting like Stockton again.
Stretching, but I mean, it could happen.
I mean, that would be dope, but Chris Paul's looking to get like a 3-year,
that's after this,
$60 million deal to ride off the sunset.
Do you think he's earned that with Phoenix?
I mean,
you would say that
I wouldn't give him that just because with his history.
Injuries?
Yeah, I would play every Chris Paul season like 1 year.
1 year deal?
Yes, I would not.
Kind of have to, especially at this stage of his career.
I'd be like, look, Chris, we'll give you 20 mil a year, but I'm not going to sit here and have you put us in a horrible situation for the next 10 years or however long because you want years, $60 million.
You make the contract 3 years or 4 years.
Yeah,
you can't get rid of that contract. Like, you're eating that.
No, because look at LeBron and how he's starting to get beat up now. Because ever since he's been in the Lakers uniform, he's been there 3 years. He's gotten hurt 2 out of the 3 years he's been there. That's a lot of miles on those tires. Same with Chris Paul, who's gotten hurt his whole career. So you're telling me
clockwork.
You're telling me we're expecting you to be our starting point guard and rely on you 20 mil a year when you're 39? Again, Chris Paul, you're a Hall of Famer, top 10 point guard of all time, but if we are a smart organization, we can't do that. I'm speaking for the Phoenix Suns.
So the Suns were balling at the end of the year going into the bubble. It looked like they were catching some flame, catching heat. Do you think the advent of Chris Paul has made them the team that they are now, or was this team already up on the rise before? I mean, you know, how can you not say that Chris Paul is not making them a better squad? I mean, they clearly are. They're polished. They're more polished. I think, I mean, if you're the Suns and if you got the money, and if Dame's looking to win some rings, because he is, Phoenix, man.
That's the
a
thing.
Scary.
Like, Chris Paul's agent, the man definitely has the gun to the head right now, because he could come in and say that. He could come in and say that since Chris Paul's going to be a free agent this year. He's going to come in and say, look what
my guy
has done to help y'all's team get over the hump and make y'all a championship contender. And again, Wags, we're kind of getting, you know, this season was very interesting because the bubble was so, you know, close to this season.
Oh, it ran into this year, yeah.
Yeah, being in October. A lot of the good teams that were in the bubble, a lot of those guys were hurt, like the Lakers, Jamal Murray and the Miami. Nuggets, Miami, like even Dante DiVincenzo getting hurt, you know, Jaylen Brown for the Celtics. So that is a thing. I can't stand when people say that the bubble, like, injuries happen. Like,
fatigue is fatigue, bro.
Yeah, fatigue happens. Like, there's a reason why football isn't year-round. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that was the case, then football would be year-round because everybody loves football. But we can't do that. That's impossible to have your body go through that. Just because you're not getting hit like that in basketball doesn't mean you don't have wear and tear on your body. So that is definitely a thing.
And to what Isaiah's point is talking about, how many out there listening right now play in a men's rec league basketball? Okay, what's it feel like running up? What's it feel like your second and third time running up and down the floor?
Yeah, that next
and
night.
We're talking about YMCA basketball or rec league basketball. Miss me?
Yeah, yeah. I'm man. My back hurts from walking up the stairs. You kidding me?
I don't have a car. I rode my bike to the store and I was smoked.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like what these guys do, like, these athletes
are
insane.
12-year-olds do it, man. How the hell are these 12-year-olds riding to the park every day?
Going back to your son's statement, one thing that I don't like that a lot of people in the media are saying with Chris Paul and how much that he's helped and put the team over the top, the fact that Chris Paul's an MVP talks, and like if Chris Paul, like, he made the All-Star team over Devin Booker, I don't get that. You know, like, I get Chris Paul might be the most important player on the team,
but he's not
the best player. Like, he's not the best player.
Chris Paul's a glue guy.
Yeah. At this point in his career, he's that guy that the veteran leadership, he's one of the best leaders ever.
Like I said, man, he brings the polish to the Suns.
Yeah, and clearly, like, but when you're averaging like 17 and 6 or 17 and 7, like, I can't give you MVP like that.
No, I'm there.
This isn't Steve Nash. Like, and Steve Nash was averaging like 19 and 12. So, like, that, there's
a
difference.
That's a double. You're averaging a double-double,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, in that era, it was a little bit different also.
And Book's averaging 30 in the playoffs?
27
in the playoffs?
Yeah, 27, which, again, this is his first playoffs. So, I think that's just the underratedness that, I don't know if that's a word, whatever, that Devin Booker
provides.
Yeah,
we'll call it an adverb.
Yeah, we'll call it that. But people always talk about Donovan Mitchell and how much better he is than Book.
Being down.
And, when guys are on the court barking and talking and dunking and stuff, it overhypes, you know, those guys. Like, Mitch Richmond was one of the best shooting guards in the 90s ever.
Sacramento, baby.
Sacramento. But nobody gives bad market. Nobody gives Mitch Richmond love unless
Bibby was out in Sacramento too, man.
Underrated. Like, there's certain guys that, you know, are below the rim, don't really chirp as much, and don't show as much emotion, aren't really as marketable, but still as good, that don't get the recognition. And Devin Booker is one of them, but Chris Paul has been getting that his whole career. Mm-hmm. We're still on that, you mm-hmm. know, oh, Chris Paul's on the team. He has to be the best player,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's I guess it's paying homage to that old, the old feisty veteran or whatever. But to speak to your point even more, man, okay, think about the guard. Think what we just talked about, Mitch Richmond. Mike Bibby, all right? Now, the name that comes out to me, because he was so vibrose or just so boisterous and whatever and just so flash and brash, it's White Chocolate, Jason Kidd.
Yes!
Jason Williams, excuse me. But, yeah, but because he was so flamboyant with
people it. People think he's better than Bibby.
Crazy. You're crazy. He had some nice passes. But he is not better than Bibby.
Yo, he was a smooth 6 turnovers a game.
And Bibby was an assassin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Seriously. Like, Bibby, with that Arizona Wildcat, man, he was an assassin, dude.
If the NBA didn't screw over, oh, yeah, he's swole body. Real swole body.
Who's he going after?
I don't know, but I think he has a son that is in college right now. I don't have to look it up. But, yeah, it's weird because Mike Bibby made that Sacramento team significantly better once he got there. Like, in 2001, when Jason Williams was there, they got swept by the Lakers. I think they were an AC, too. They, like, snuck into the playoffs with all that talent. Like, Chris Webber was at his prime. Vlade was solid.
Vlade was there.
Doug Christie, who, you know.
Wow.
If Doug Christie's wife didn't do him wrong all the time and have him as whipped as anybody has ever been in professional sports, who knows what Doug Christie's career would have been like. Well, maybe she was the backbone. Maybe she provided that structure that he needed to be a successful professional athlete.
Hey, man, it's mysterious ways, bro.
Yeah, but there's pictures online of Doug Christie in a damn leash on the ground, and she's, like, standing over. I'll show you when we go to break.
Some people just like that stuff, though, man.
Yeah, Doug Christie, he does look a little freaky.
Well, see, but now
Peja Stojakovic, come on.
Dude, they did have some talent, man. They had some shooters. And I remember, like, 2K basketball back in the day?
Come on, bro. You know who you're talking to?
Not 2K. I'm talking about, NBA sorry. Live? No. ESPN basketball.
Yeah.
It was ESPN basketball.
Yeah.
That was
2K.
That was 2K before ESPN was 2K, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm on the right. The Sacramento Kings had a sneaky, scary team that you could ball with, bro.
Yes, they were loaded. They were loaded. I'm telling you, once they traded Jason Williams, they got Mike Bibby, they got screwed over in the Western Conference Finals, Game 6, like how D-Wade and the Heat screwed over the Mavs in Game 3 of the 2006 Finals. It was like that. Like, people put it down that one of the biggest screw jobs ever in NBA history, because it seemed like they wanted to get the Lakers big market in the finals because they knew that they knew that the Nets weren't going to bring anything to the table. And, you know, Kobe and Shaq, come on. They don't need help. Kobe and Shaq don't need help from the refs, guys.
No, not at all, man.
And then going into that Game 7 with the Kings and the Lakers, if you go and look at the film, like, before the starting lineups, you see they show Kobe and Shaq, and they look as locked in as anybody could ever be. And then they show Chris Webber, and he looks as out of it as anybody.
Are you about to call timeout?
No. Come on, Wag.
I'm just saying, man.
We didn't need to hear that. Come on.
I'll never forget that moment in life.
No one will ever forget that.
Oh, my God. No. I was in seventh grade, man.
Who are you rooting for?
I was rooting for Michigan.
Really?
I was rooting for
You had the black socks, black kicks?
I'm a Maryland Terrapin fan, bro.
Ah, ACC.
Who was they
days.
Playing? Yeah. Who was they playing?
Carolina.
Weak ass Eric Montrose.
Yeah, he was pretty weak.
But he was good in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be really good in the league.
And then he went to the Celtics and just died.
Yeah, but that's. Yeah, Chris Webber, he was so out of it, and it was like he knew they were going to lose.
Yeah. All right, and we got a good question on the Specs text line, but are the Suns real, though? They've only played, or they're playing Denver with a banged-up Jamal Murray, and with no Jamal Murray and a banged up Chris Porter or Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, it's been easier. I'm not gonna front there. Like it's.
But you don't think that the challenge with the Lakers was a legit challenge?
No.
I mean, they were a banged up Lakers squad.
Yeah, they were banged up. Again, like I said about the bubble, we didn't see teams at full throttle because they were still getting over the bubble and all of the injuries from the four teams in the final four of the bubble, Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals. In the Western Conference Finals, you had the Lakers versus the Nuggets. Both teams had significant players get hurt this year. Anthony Davis with the Lakers, Jamal and LeBron, and then Jamal Murray with the Nuggets. If you go on the other side with the Heat, they had injuries the whole season. They got Victor Oladipo. He got hurt. He was supposed to help them. He would have been huge for them.
They would have made a run. When they made that trade, when that went down, I was just like, all right, they're gonna make a run.
That was such a good move. And then he gets hurt. So that really did them wrong. And then you go look at the Boston Celtics, their second best player, Jalen Brown, out the whole playoffs.
Once that happened, I knew that wouldn't.
So like
I thought Washington had a shot on.
Yeah. So good grief. I can't believe you thought that. But yeah, so I think the Suns have had it a little easier and they're taking advantage of, you know, all of the injuries that have happened throughout the season, but a lot of teams have done that. The Brooklyn Nets, we were talking about in the bubble how good the Brooklyn Nets were going to be this year, right? Because they were resting everybody. Like, Kyrie should have played in the bubble. KD should have played in the bubble. But they were like,
No, we're all right. We're good.
Yeah, let's just make
this don't mean
this
as
run.
Much to us.
Yeah, it don't mean as much. So,
I mean, so to answer that question, are the Suns for real? I think
this year, yes.
And, you know, even if you want to say that they've been playing some banged up teams along their way, granted, that's true. But if they get to the finals and they do take down the beast from the East, the Nets, if the Nets go, if they play anybody from the East in the finals and beat them, yes, they're obviously they are legit.
If they beat the Nets in the NBA Finals, Chris Paul is the third best point guard of all time.
Wow. That's
easily. It's not even close anymore. It would be.
Is that
Magic
what we're waiting
Johnson.
Are we just waiting on for his hardware to claim that?
Yeah.
To boast?
That's all we're waiting
that
on.
That sucks because it shouldn't have to come down to that. Like he's been that influential in the league already.
But
man,
when there's other guys that are around his stature, which again, that's what I'm saying. Like, how much credit should we give Magic? Because Magic was 6'10". Like, that's why I put Pat Riley on the pedestal, because Pat Riley...
The Lakers were loaded, dude.
Yeah, and obviously Magic was good before Pat Riley when he got there. Like, they won a championship before Pat was the coach. But I think Pat Riley took his game to another level. And I say this all the time, you know, when I talk about Kareem and Magic, they both kind of discredit each other because they were both so damn good. Like, I could get 5 assists a game just by throwing it to Kareem and him throwing up a skyhook. Like, come on now. Like, that's the easiest half-court offense of all time.
Kurt Rambis's glasses were getting you assists back then, dude. I'm serious.
Yeah, Kurt Rambis, he could really run the floor. But, yeah, I'm telling you, he would be the third best point guard of all time. It would be Magic, Steph, Chris Paul, Isaiah, Zeke, Bad Boy, Pistons, Thomas.
So how do you not give the third best point guard of all time a contract extension for at least 2 years if you're the Phoenix Suns, because you might want to walk that out and say, hey, Dame, you want to come here?
See, that's the thing. If they win it, you got to give it to them.
Do you?
I never said that.
Okay. I think you have. That's
you
what the agent's going
to give it to him.
His party is going to be.
You have no choice. If he wins it, you have no choice.
So you have to give him 3 years? Or
whatever he wants.
Wow.
If they win it all. Because Wax, at this point,
but that's setting the franchise back, isn't it? You're putting restraints on your franchise.
Not necessarily, because you're now at the we want to come here market that you've never been at before, because you got Book. No matter what, even though Chris Paul leaves,
you got the that's what I'm,
if they got like a stretch four. Or something, just because that doesn't want to see the paint. Like, if they got Kristaps Porzingis somehow, oh my gosh. Even people who are Dallas fans are probably like, no, he's trash. No, he's trash for y'all.
Yeah, in the system.
He's
in the
bad
system.
In y'all's system, which, That Luka, I know people are talking about, or the media, somebody said in the media that Luka, you know, him being a ISO player hurt the Mavs a lot. I don't believe in that at all. I know I kind of went off topic, off kill, like we always do, but I don't think that's true at all. Because at the end of the day, if that's really the case, then fire Rick Carlisle. Because he's the one that is orchestrating this offense. He's the one that is saying yes and no to what's going on. And I feel like Rick Carlisle is smart enough to know that, hey, the ball in Luka's hands is our best option. Because if our second player is going to be this European guy that doesn't want to touch the paint, who is 7'3", who I didn't know he was like this coming in.
Do you think he's like this because of the injury?
Yeah.
Has to be, right? Because he, when he was in New York, he was flying to the rim.
Oh my gosh. He was running like a deer. He was blocking shots like LeBron in ways. Like LeBron chased down blocks. You're right.
He was so very athletic, man.
Very, like he, it seemed, and again, it's mental, man. Like, there's certain guys, especially being that 7'3".
You feel like you're going to break at any moment, yeah.
Like, he knows that big men and foot injuries, like, it's a thing. Like, he's not naive to that. He's seen plenty of players have foot injuries that have been over 7 feet that just haven't been able to get back, you know, to full capacity. And when you know certain things like that, that sticks with you. Certain guys can get over it. Paul George, clearly. And certain guys, you know, they just can't. Like, certain guys feel like they have to change their game completely because they felt that was the reason that caused this, maybe. You know, certain guys are probably think, oh, hey, I can't go hard like I used to because
I'm going to snap. I'm going to break.
Yeah. Like, my body's different now, you know? And we hear guys that say, I can trust my body. And there are certain guys that can adapt to it, like Derrick Rose.
You think Gordon Hayward thinks about that? You think about Gordon Hayward, you know, snapping that leg?
I think it took him a while. Because you remember how inconsistent he was.
Coming back
with the Celtics. Like, clearly they got rid of him. They were probably tired of it. They were probably like, look, man, what you were supposed to be, you weren't that. Michael Jordan will give you a lot of money to go sit on the bench and not be healthy. Such a grip. Good. Like, I haven't seen.
I need money too, Mike.
Yeah, I haven't seen Jordan get gripped like that since Juanita Denham. No, I'm sorry. Look, Mike, Juanita deserves that money. The way that Mike was in Vegas telling Tiger Woods, yo, you Tiger Woods. Juanita deserves that money. I'm sorry. Juanita Jordan, you deserve that money. Take a third
get it.
There's a lot of ridiculous people in line right now waiting for the Jordan 10s. He'll be on.
Okay, so we started this whole hypothetical ride with Dame Lillard potentially coming to Phoenix because of the rumors speculating with Dallas. Do you think
you
the
sound
rumors
like
with Dallas?
Everybody, by the way, all I see on social media is Dame Lillard in somebody else's jersey Portland.
That's it.
Like Dallas,
me,
Lakers.
Does Dame
I see
not
them in
feel
New
like
York
the guy
jerseys.
To you to want to stay in Portland? Does he not feel like that, dude?
He wants to do that. He already knows he's in the Hall of Fame. At this point, it's just about building on that legacy. And again, drink up, because we're gonna talk about mental health, kind of like Trey Allen does Chicago. Like, when we bring up mental health, say drink up.
Yeah.
But people's mental health, he seems like a laid back guy that likes that small market type community that Portland could bring. And again, they just fired Terry Stotts.
Yep.
So they're trying to figure things out. It's not like they're not doing it, which I don't know if it took them a while. Obviously, Terry was Dame's guy, or Dame's guy was Terry, I mean. So I think that's why he stayed as long as he did. But at the end of the day, CJ McCollum can't be your number two. We thought it could. It's just not going to work. For one, he's too injury prone. He gets hurt all the time. And then now where the league is going, like Luka's a point guard. Luka's 6'9". CJ McCollum is a 6'3", 2 guard.
You can put him on Luka.
It's not going to work. Yeah, it's just not going to work. Where we need bigger guys in this league. I think CJ McCollum, I think there's going to be a point of his career where he's going to be like a Lou Williams type of player. If he realizes that, and again, certain guys just can't, you know, they got too much pride to really, you know, the Carmelo Anthony syndrome. Like, I'm a starter.
Right.
I don't come off the bench, right. Dog. I'm a starter.
Okay, which, we'll see.
Yeah, which that hurt Carmelo for a lot of, you know, the end of his tenure. But I think CJ McCollum, if he realizes, yo, I could be one of the best six men ever in this league on a really good team.
Just play that role, man.
Yeah, and instead of being or trying to be the second best player, because clearly it's not working in Portland.
Update: England beat Croatia 1-0 in UEFA Euro 2020, and the next match between Northern Macedonia and it just went off the TV, so I'll have to bring it to you when we come back. When we come back, we got Justin Wells as well.
I'll bet.
Guess why? Talking about some recruiting. Yeah, apparently there was a lot going on the 40 acres yesterday. Lots of parties, people having a good time, people from old school coming back. And
we got a lot of questions for Justin Wells. We got baseball questions, football questions. I got a basketball question for him.
It's a good day to have Justin Wells.
I hope he's prepared.
He's, oh, man, this dude. The pulse is always vibrating, man. This dude, one of the best in the business to do so. Don't go nowhere. Justin Wells on the other side. It's the Wagner Wire.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming live at hornfm.com. And, almost as smooth as this song. This song, I mean, I can let it go all damn day, baby, but we can't, man. We got Justin Wells on the hook, actually. We got to go to the Picaro's Cafe and Cantina hotline and welcome him on in just a couple of minutes. But yeah, don't go nowhere, man. We're going to be talking a lot of Longhorn talk here coming up in just a couple of seconds here. Lots going on the 40 acres. We got a lot going on at the Dish. Stuff going on with some hoops as well. We got to bring on Justin Wells, managing editor for Inside Texas, onto the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline right now. What's going on, Justin? Welcome to the show. Happy Sunday, brother.
Happy Sunday, brother. Yeah, it's definitely a bright day today. Anytime I get to hang out with Adam Wagner on the Wagner Wire, my day starts off splendid. It's wonderful and beautiful, brother. How's it going in the ATA?
Man, it's a lot better now that we're talking to you, man. There's a lot of news going on the 40 acres, man. We got to get our pulse to the ground here, and the only way to do that is to talk to Mr. Justin Wells, man. You can find Justin Wells on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Justin, man, so was it the who's who of whoever needed to be a Longhorn last night or yesterday just on the 40 acres? What the hell is going on?
My man, let me try to summarize. I tweeted really late last night because I didn't get back. I was in Austin early yesterday. I left late. I got home probably about 1 in the morning, and I had tweeted out that was a day because the amount of recruits that arrived early in the morning, especially the amount of star power, former Texas football players that arrived, started the day off really, really nicely. It went throughout the entire day, you know, the recruits getting shipped around on golf carts, getting to see all sorts of things, getting presentations, seeing facilities, hitting a pool party, getting an inside look at the renovations.
Hold on. You got to slow down. Pool parties. What all's going on here on the 40 acres? What all's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. A good damn time. That's what's going on. And to top it off, the Texas baseball team decided to make it a little interesting. Thank goodness that's a commitment to excellence right there. It was going to be a nice little shutout, but Texas let them back in just so they could have a walk off in front of Arch Manning or in front of the recruits. To me, That's a flex right there. And so yesterday was a big day. A lot of good recruits on campus. A lot of the old heads that these players and parents really look up to. And then a fantastic baseball game at the end. And our Joe Cook had two great stories post game after the baseball game last night. And looking forward to Texas baseball today. And so let's go down each one. You just tell me kind of which ones you want to talk about, because there was a whole lot of people there yesterday, brother.
Well, man, I mean, I guess we got to go ahead and start off with Anthony Jones, you know, first and foremost. That's the one. I mean, just after the visit, he went ahead and said, hey, guess what, man, I'm committing. I'm going to verbally commit to the University of Texas. I mean, I guess it had to be one hell of a show.
It was a pretty good show. Full disclosure, Jones is probably a strong Texas lean for the last, I'm going to say, 2 months. And he had just, it was basically coming down to a battle with Miami. And Miami liked to be tied in. And Jones liked the idea of playing tight end. You ask any prospect if you'd rather play offense or defense, and they want to score touchdowns.
Sure.
Kids. And so they favor that offensive side. Well, Coach PK Kwiatkowski gave him a national spiel on how he can fit better at the X or the Jack, essentially an edge backer in this defense. And Anthony Jones is a great fit. He is what we call but he is a perfect fit for this scheme. So that actually allows his ranking to be a little bit higher because it's a natural fit in formation. So with Jones, this is a guy that, you know, he's going to wreck his senior year. It was, you know, his junior year was cut short with COVID, but his sophomore tape is incredible. He's only gotten better. And this is a guy that was once committed to the University of Washington and Coach Kwiatkowski. So there's a familiarity there. There's a bond. Him jumping in yesterday, last night, was just the icing on the cake of a really big day on the 40.
So is he more of a – so would you just call him a hybrid outside linebacker? Is he better playing in the flats or better coming off the edge?
Coming off the edge. He's going to be a big boy. He's going to be a big boy, so it's going to be coming off the edge. When I say X or Jack, that's essentially an outside linebacker closer to the line. One would be getting his hand on the ground generally. The other would be more like a Joseph Osai, which would be standing, say, on third downs, coming off the edge. Jones, in this defense, you either project to those outside edge backers or an inside backer, like a David Benda or a DeMarvion Overshown, you know, somebody like that. And so Jones is going to look like – he'll look pretty good in that back edge backer spot. He's an animal, man. I think this is a guy that they really stole. Oregon really liked him. USC really liked him. Washington wanted him. At the end of the day, Miami – he took an official to Miami last weekend, and they it was a good sales pitch. But as soon as he got to Austin, we kind of already felt like he was a Texas lean to begin with. Our Eric Nolin nailed it right after the morning interviews. When the players came through, he said, you know, Jones, this is a guy that people need to pay attention to. And then about 8 hours later, he commits to Texas. So it was a good
thing. Right, yeah.
Well, Zay here. You know, obviously yesterday, what's happening. So obviously yesterday was a big day on campus, and obviously the highlight name was Arch Manning, and clearly, you know, the Manning name's going to do that for you. But who are some of the guys that people aren't talking about as much? You know, maybe some of the running backs or the quick hitch receivers out there. Is there anybody that we missed here in the media that should be showcased yesterday?
Great question. You set it up, man. I'm about to knock this one out. Wide receiver Carnell Tate, IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, 2023 wide receiver, borderline 4-5 star. I mean, the dude is legit. And when you get to catch passes in a camp setting with Arch Manning, it looks really good when they connect. And Carnell Tate came around. He told me that the staff loved how he played. They mentioned that they need guys like him in their offense. I'm actually working on a post right now that I'll have up at about 30 minutes after this interview, where I've got a dozen different players just giving quotes and talking about everything that stood out. Tate's a guy people need to recognize, because Arch Manning's the type of player that can bring a lot of guys from across the country. You don't have to stay in state, brother. You can go nationwide. And I think Carnell Tate is one that guys, Texas fans need to know. Another one that I was very impressed with is Javian Torbiano. Now, to the recruiting fan, he's not that uncommon. He's a cornerback out of Arlington Martin High School, 2023. His teammates, Maurice Blackwell, linebacker, signed with Texas this last cycle and moved in early June. His teammate, junior teammate at Martin, Travell Johnson, is also committed to Texas. And so Tobiano's got kind of a Texas feel there in his home locker room already. He already really liked Texas. He told me last night, you know, it's a different vibe here. It's just, it's my vibe is what he said. And this is coming from a cat that just visited Alabama and OU. And getting him back on campus and getting and reminding him of this is kind of the school that, you know, a lot of these people are kind of penciling in. This is a guy that could potentially be a five-star lockdown corner. Javion Taviano had a wonderful time, and that's a name that people need to know and to recognize. But let me give you a sleeper. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's a sleeper because, like I said, in recruiting circles, this guy is pretty well known. But Avion Carter, he's a defensive end out of Tascosa. There we go. It's a high school in Amarillo. He's a guy that's I wouldn't say he's underrated, but I think he's got the potential to a very high ceiling, you know, high four-star, low five-star type potential. You know, college coaches look for two things on defense. Can you cover a receiver, and can you get to the quarterback? Carter can get to the quarterback. He had a wonderful trip. This was something big for him coming all the way from Amarillo. He really wanted to see what Texas campus was like and kind of get a feel for it. And so if you needed a few names, there you go. I'll give you one more. Dalton Brooks. He's from a little town called Shiner, Texas. And this guy is an athlete. He plays on both sides of the ball. He's a D1 receiver or D1 safety. I think he's a safety. I think Texas likes him at safety. He could be one of those big thumper B.J. Foster-looking guys. And so if you needed to know some names that were just, you know, not the typical ones like Arch Mannings and the Reuben Owens and the Jonte Cooks, those other guys. When we're talking about dudes, Carnell Tate is a dude. You know, Avion Carter is a dude. And Javion Taviano is not only going to be, my prediction, the best corner in state. He's going to be a top five corner in the nation. He's going to hold 205 pounds, about as sexy as possible. And this is going to be a guy that potentially play on Sundays.
Nice. Justin, we're speaking with Justin Wells, managing editor for Inside Texas. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Justin, you spoke about the big names, and of course, the key marquee name there is Arch Manning. I saw some clips of him essentially putting the ball on a platter for his receivers just in some drills that he was doing yesterday inside the bubble there. But let's talk about the people that are going to keep Arch Manning upright. How about Harris Sewell? I saw Harris Sewell was able to make an appearance. Was there any type of footage that you saw from the Hog Mollies yesterday that really kind of moved your eyes?
You know, hey, we didn't get to catch much of the Hog Molly, the interior lineman doing a whole lot. I'm not sure how much they did, to be totally honest with you, Wags. But Harris Sewell, just having him on campus, and he's the number one offensive.
I was going to say he's got to be one of the best tackles, right?
Well, that's the thing. I think he can play both because he has the size and he has the reach. I think he gets maximized probably at guard. But if you can play tackle in college, brother, play tackle in college.
Exactly.
He's got that type of versatility. You know, he's a really good kid out of Odessa Permian. Big, big kid. Spoke to him last night. His thrill was not just, going through a camp, but it was talking to Arch Manning. And talking about how it would be fun to protect him, you know, to block for a guy like that. He was really, really enamored with Arch's offensive acumen, and he asked really good questions. And so Sewell's a guy that you need to protect your big men, your Hudson Cards, your Casey Thompsons, your
right.
Murphys. You got to protect those guys. And it starts up front with guys like Harris Sewell. Sewell is a wide open recruit. He grew up out west, and he never really attached to a certain school. I know his family's got some familiarity with Texas. His uncle's Will Kane that used to work for ESPN, and now he does Fox Sports. And Will had told me about Harris probably 2 years ago, and I don't think either one of us thought he would grow up into the prospect he's become. But Sewell's a guy that can block up front. He's a guy that you want to know of. I'll give you a sleeper offensive lineman, Andre Kojo. He's out of Mansfield Timberview. He's real young. He's 15 years old, and he's real raw. and he's real big, but he's got a lot of upside. And so I'm looking forward to kind of seeing his development as well. He enjoyed his trip to Austin. Got to speak to his mother and himself yesterday afternoon. And so if you needed some guys up front in that 2023 class to start off, Harris Sewell is definitely my first name, and Kojo's another one you got to pay attention to.
Well, let's move to baseball a little bit. And the dish was rocking last night. And, you know, one thing, obviously the game was very dramatic, like you said. And, you know, one thing about this South Florida team, they clearly have nothing to lose. Like, they're not supposed to be here. They weren't supposed to win out in Gainesville to even be here in the ATX, while UT, on the other hand, being the number two seed, they have so much to play for. Did you think last night maybe UT was pressing a little bit, or just like my partner said all the time, baseball's just hard?
Baseball's just hard. Texas was not pressing. This is a veteran-laden team with tons of experience. They're not pressing. You actually nailed it on the head with the first sentence. And this was, I spoke to someone close to the program last night after the game, because, you know, it's 3-0 in the top of the ninth, and I was on the road driving back home. I get a call from a coach, and so I just assumed the game would be over by the time I got off the phone. Well, I started getting these alerts. Walk off this, walk. I'm thinking, walk off? It's a 3-run lead 20 minutes ago. What are you talking about, walk off? But what an exciting ending. What a great show for recruits on hand, for fans. It was, you're right, it was rocking. But here's what you said that really nailed it. South Florida has nothing to lose. And there is nothing scarier than a team in the postseason with nothing to lose. It's all house money for those guys. And so, and give them total credit. You get to a super regional, you knock out a number one ranked Florida team in Gainesville, you've got my respect. And that's, I think, something that the Texas coaches did a wonderful job with this week. They made sure these guys did not overlook South Florida. There was no pressing. There was no taking a team for granted. They were treating South Florida like you would play Arkansas, like you would play Florida, like you would play Stanford. And that's why this baseball staff is so good. That's why from top to bottom, this staff is one of the best in the country, because they understand, one, this is not an easy path. Two, let's take the virtuous route and make sure we do the right things. And three, you got to play up the full nine innings. And I think, you know, give South Florida credit. Tanner Witt was throwing some filth last night, okay? That guy was delivering some nasty. And in South Florida, a couple guys got the barrel around on the ball a little bit. But also give Eric Kennedy a ton of credit. You know, our Joe Cook had terrific coverage. And he had mentioned that Kennedy had been hitting the ball really hard all season. He just hadn't had them fall in for him, his leg. And last night was with some of that justification. So last night with some of that Eric Kennedy coming back out. Wonderful win. Can't wait to see what the dish is going to look like this evening.
One win away from Omaha, Justin. I mean, just like you talked about it, you know, they are on house money. South Florida is playing on house money, but usually the house does win. You know, set the table long enough, you always got to chip a chair and a prayer, that's for sure. But, I mean, South Florida, to face two stalwarts like Madden and then coming in and have a wit, you know, get the ball, you're up against some bad slate. That's for sure, going up against this Texas team. Now, look, this is pretty much, we talked about it, right? South Florida can... And they can't upset Texas if they – I mean, it's baseball, man. Anything can happen. They shocked the hell out of Florida, out of this, you know, very impressive Gator squad. I mean, just in their route to get here to their road to Omaha into the Super Regional here. But you got to think that, I mean, the Longhorns, they look like they're in control, man. It felt like they're in control even after Brutcher's home run in the top of the ninth. I wasn't really sweating much because we still had at bat, and we still have, my God, you know, I was thinking to myself, we still got, you know, 7, 8, 9 coming up, and then, you know, if we just get one hit, then we got, you know, we got the top of our order coming right back up, and you know what Antico can do. So it just seems like it seems like if you're the opposing pitcher, no matter where you're at in this Texas lineup, you have trouble.
That's true, you know, and that's the beauty of these guys. They've got decent sticks. I'd like to see this hitting pick up a little bit more, especially if they make their 37th trip to Omaha next week. I do like to see the sticks pick up. But if you're the opponent, The real difficulty with handling Texas is the 1, 2, and 3 starters, because you got three guys that are all going to pitch in professional baseball. Ty Madden's going in the first round.
Right.
Joy, that guy. He's been a pleasure to watch. Tristan Stevens might be pound for pound having the best season. I mean, his numbers in Big 12 play were incredible, big time consistent. And ask any baseball coach, pitching coach in the world, what do you want from your pitcher? Consistency.
Sure.
And then you got the lefty, Pete Hansen, who's got some Steve Avery, Atlanta Braves looking stuff to him, man. He comes over. That's a guy that I think can pitch in the league for a long time. I believe he had 13 Ks in his win in the regional last week. That's your number three.
Right.
So you're going into a series. Yeah, you might be able to get over on Texas for one game. Say you silence their sticks for the most part, get a couple timely hits and pull out a win. But are you going to beat them 2 times with that rotation? That's where Texas gets you. And I think that's where, no matter how lucky or how much mojo South Florida might be bringing with them from Tampa, this Texas rotation, the top to bottom, is just really, really good.
Stevens on the bump tonight for the game at 8 o'clock at the Dish against South Florida. And Justin, before we let you go, Zay's got one more question for you in terms of basketball recruiting.
All right, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know your guy was here last weekend, Keandre George, who, you know, I think the shooting guard's coming back. You see guys like Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker.
Shooting guard never left, bro. It never left.
It did. The point guard kind of overshadowed the shooting guard a little bit, but it's coming back. And obviously, Texas basketball, I see them working out down there and, you know, downtown and stuff, doing different things on their social media. It looks very, very exciting and promising. How's the basketball team looking with recruiting where they are right now?
You know, the one thing I loved about all of our new additions at Inside Texas, building the army that we have assembled at Inside Texas, was the increased basketball coverage. And that really picked up. You know, you hate it when Shaka Smart loses his job, but bringing in Chris Beard was just like an injection of energy. And you talk about a guy that gets it. And right now, they're doing some good things in the offseason program. I mean, they're wearing those guys out. You got some sore ball players walking around campus the last few days, because Beard's going to push them. He's pushing them to the brink, and that's exactly what you have to do. This bunch is going to be good. Anthony Black was on campus a couple days ago for his official visit. Anthony Black, if you don't know, is very close to Mr. Keontae George and Mr. Arturo Morris, both of whom are going to be playing at Ice School, entrepreneurial school in Louisville this year. Black had a great time. This is a spot I think he sees himself in. If that's where he ends, goes at the end of the day, that remains to be seen. But Anthony Black loved it. This staff, this is Chris Beard hired one of the best staffs in the country. You know, it's funny. Every time Texas gets a new coach, there's always the proverbial blank check mentioned. Go get the best assistants. Go spend this money. And more often than not, I think we don't see coaches fully maximize that. And then you see Steve Sarkisian and Chris Beard, and they love it. And you got to give those guys tons of credit. Beard has surrounded himself with some actual ball coaches. I like what they're doing in the offseason. Our Jerry Hamilton does a great job covering those guys. He's probably going to have a basketball update up later today or tomorrow, just to kind of summarize, because I know Arturo Morris, another combo guard, is coming in, I believe, in the middle of this week for his official visit. He's another big-time player, but you know, the shooting guard never went out of style. But I'll say this, if it took a back seat, if it went on the clearance rack for about a couple of years, Keontae George is about to put that thing in the front window, because I don't want to build it up too much, and I feel like I probably did that a little bit with Greg Brown just because of how great of a kid he is. Keontae George doesn't have a weakness, eh?
Wow.
He doesn't. And but if you find one, call me. I watched some of his clips, some stuff from El Pago's camp, and guys.
Oh yeah, you shouldn't be shooting.
When the shot wasn't going down, you know what he's doing?
Digging
he's
getting
out 10 times.
Yeah, he was passing. I saw those clips too.
Yeah, he doesn't have the athleticism of a Russell Westbrook, but he's got the frame. It's not as big, but he looks like a smaller Russell Westbrook, a guy that can just go coast to coast. He can handle the ball.
He's got good handles.
He can defend. And so, Keontae, man, he's in a good spot. Texas is in a good spot with him. And I'll tell you this, if Keontae George winds up going to Texas, Texas fans need to get tickets. He's legit. He's a one-and-doner. So when you see him for that 1 year, you better soak him up and enjoy him because that joker's going in the lottery the next round.
You said it, Justin. Texas is playing with some blank checks, that's for sure. It looks like football's cashing in on the blank checks, basketball's cashing in on the blank checks, and you can argue that baseball's cashing in with adding Tulo and Houston Street and all the other staff, you know, coming on there for Coach Pierce as well. Justin Wells, thank you so much for joining the show, brother. Nothing but good stuff all the time.
Hey, brother, I appreciate you guys. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. Thanks, he goes, Justin. Managing editor for Inside Texas. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. He is one of the best in the business, man, and so is his crew. Don't go nowhere. On the other side, we're going to turn this over for the hour number three. Get you ready for some more NBA playoff talk. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com.